Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're looking at something our eyes do all the time, almost without us thinking, tracking moving things. It's really fundamental.
Yeah, absolutely. Scientists call it smooth pursuit. It's that effortless glide your eyes make.
Right. But here's the tricky part. How do we use that natural movement to control technology, especially, you know, when there isn't a screen right there?
Exactly. Because the old ways, well, they had issues.
Like getting tired eyes or that thing people call the Midas touch, where you look at something and whoops, you've selected it.
Precisely. And that's where this new idea, body pursuits, comes in. It's a different approach to human-computer interaction, or HCI.
Okay, tell me more. How's it different?
Well, the core concept is pretty clever. Instead of following a dot on some screen, you actually make the target yourself. You trace a path in the air with your hand, maybe just your thumb, and your eyes follow that.
Interesting. So you're generating the target yourself.
You got it.
And that brings us to the paper we're diving into today, Body Pursuits, exploring smooth pursuit gaze interaction based on body motion targets. Our mission here is to really unpack this research, see if it works, how usable it is, and what potential it might have.
It's a fascinating piece of work.
Okay, let's dig in then. Why is body pursuits such, well, potential big deal? What were those limitations with the older gaze methods that this is trying to fix?
So like you mentioned, the big ones were eye fatigue from staring or trying to hold a gaze, and that Midas touch, the accidental selections. Just looking shouldn't always mean choosing.
Or definitely not. Very annoying.
Smooth pursuits, the kind body pursuits uses, are inherently more comfortable. It's a more natural movement than, say, staring fixedly for a dwell-based selection.
Okay, that makes sense.
Plus, the pattern of a smooth pursuit, the trajectory, it's quite distinct from just glancing around. That makes it easier for a system to tell the difference, which helps avoid those accidental Midas touch moments.
Right, it's a specific kind of look. But didn't previous research on smooth pursuits still need a screen, like a public display or smart glasses?
Yes, exactly. That was the catch. They always relied on some external screen to provide the moving target.
And the problem with that is,
well, it limits where you can use it, doesn't it? You're tethered to that display.
Right.
It doesn't work so well if you're moving around or in situations where having a screen isn't practical or even wanted.
Like those special earphones you mentioned before the show, the EOG ones.
Right, electrocardiography earphones. They can track eye movements, sure, but they can't show you a target. There's no display in your field of view.
Ah, okay.
And here's a really interesting bit from other research. It seems that accuracy and even how engaged you are actually improve when the target motion is self-generated, like you're more connected to it because you're causing it.
So controlling the target yourself makes the tracking better. Yeah. That's counterintuitive almost.
It seems so, yeah.
Which leads us straight back to body pursuits. This is its moment, right? Explain that core concept again, how it uses that self-generated idea.
It's wonderfully simple, really. The moving target your eyes follow is literally your own thumb tracing a path in midair. That's it.
No screen needed, just you, your hand, your eyes.
Exactly, and that just throws open the door for interaction possibilities where screens are, you know, just not feasible. Think about integrating this with those EOG earphones we talked about.
Or even brain-computer interfaces, BCIs. Using EEG signals.
Potentially, yes. Anywhere you might have eye tracking capability but lack a way to present a visual target, body pursuits could fill that gap.
And the goal of this specific study we're looking at was basically to prove this wasn't just a neat idea, but actually a workable interaction method.
That's right, to show its viability, with the hope that it could eventually become a real-time way to give commands to devices.
Okay, this is where it gets really practical and honestly quite cool. How do you even design gestures for this? What kinds of hand movements did they actually test?
Good question. They came up with a set of 10 gestures. They started with pretty standard trajectories, circles, vertical lines, horizontal lines, things people are familiar with.
That makes sense. Keep it simple initially.
Yeah. And they included both directions, like clockwise and anti-clockwise for the circle, left to right and right to left for the horizontal line. They also added a basic square shape.
Okay.
But then they did something novel. They added near to far and far to near gestures, moving the thumb towards and away from the face.
Whoa, so bringing depth into it.
Exactly. That was kind of a proof of concept to see if changes in depth could work as an input dimension too, which is pretty different for gaze interaction.
Definitely. And did people have to move at a set speed?
No, that was important too. They told users to trace the paths at whatever pace felt comfortable and natural to them.
All right, so you have the gestures. What about the study setup? How did they watch people doing this?
They had 20 participants come in. Each person wore a mobile eye tracker, a PeopleCore headset, specifically.
Okay, standard eye tracking gear.
And they also wore a smartwatch, a tick watch, on the wrist of the hand doing the gestures. That wasn't for display. It was to get baseline data from its IMU, the accelerometer and gyroscope.
Ah, so they could compare eye tracking recognition with standard hand motion recognition. Clever.
Precisely. Participants got instructions, practiced a bit. The researchers noted people naturally held their arms slightly bent, kind of relaxed, with different hand positions. Good real-world observations.
And how did they collect the data, especially the noise data, just random eye movement?
Their method for getting noise data was quite smart.
Uh-huh.
Participants would be doing something else, reading, looking at pictures, watching a video, normal screen stuff.
Okay.
Then they'd hear a sound cue.
Mm-hmm.
They'd stop what they were doing, perform one body pursuits gesture just once, and they go right back to their reading or watching.
Ah, so they captured the gesture embedded within normal eye activity.
Exactly. It gave them lots of gesture examples.
Mm-hmm.
1,800 samples in total, plus 600 minutes of just regular gaze data, the noise, to train their system to tell the difference.
That sounds like a solid data set. So you've got eye movements, hand movements. How did they turn that raw data into recognized commands? What tech did the analysis?
They use a deep learning model called TinyHAR. The HR stands for Human Activity Recognition. It's designed to be lightweight, suitable for this kind of sensor data.
And what went into TinyHAR?
The raw stuff. 3D gaze position from the eye tracker and the 3D accelerometer and gyroscope data from the smartwatch IMU. They just resampled it all to a consistent rate first.
Okay, makes sense. Feed the model the raw movements. So the big question, how well did it work? What were the F1 scores, the measure of accuracy?
The results were pretty clear. Looking at the macro average F1 scores, for the gaze data alone, they hit 0.772.
0.772. Is that good? Bad. Okay.
Which is promising. Definitely usable, but with room for improvement. They found a 5-second window size worked best for analyzing the gaze data.
Okay. And the hand movement data from the watch, the IMU baseline.
That performed significantly better, as you might expect, for mid-air hand gestures.
Mm-mm.
The F1 score there was 0.929.
Wow. Yeah. That's quite a bit higher. Like 15% better recognition just from the hand motion.
Around that. Yeah. So that difference immediately flags something important, right? Why was the gaze-based score lower? What were the challenges there?
Good question. What did they find?
The main issue seemed to be misclassifying actual gestures as noise. Basically, the system sometimes thought a deliberate gesture was just random eye movement.
Ah. Which gestures were most confusing?
Mostly the simpler one-dimensional ones. The straight lines, vertical up-down, horizontal left-right, and especially those near, far, far near depth gestures.
Why those ones?
Well, think about how your eyes move normally. Quick little jumps, called saccades. Some of those line gestures might look a bit like a saccade path. And for the depth ones, the eye movements involved vergence, where your eyes turn in or out can be quite small and subtle, easily lost in the noise.
Okay, that makes sense. The movements are maybe too similar to everyday, non-intentional eye movements. What about the more complex 2D ones, the circles and squares?
They fared better against being mistaken for noise. That's good news. The distinct 2D path helped.
But there's always a but.
But they sometimes got confused with each other, especially if they were moving in the same general direction. Like a clockwise circle might get mistaken for a clockwise square, or vice versa.
Okay. So maybe the gesture set itself needs tweaking. Make them even more distinct from each other.
That's what the researchers suggest. Yeah. Refining the gesture set could definitely boost that recognition accuracy.
All right. That covers the tech side. But what about the people? How did it actually feel to use body pursuits? What was the user experience like?
That's crucial, isn't it? And the news here was largely positive. Subjective workload, basically.
Yeah.
How much effort it felt like was rated as low across all 10 gestures.
Low effort. That's great.
Yeah, people found it generally low effort and appealing. There was maybe a tiny hint that the 2D gestures, the circles and squares, felt slightly more demanding than the simple lines. But overall, it didn't feel taxing.
That's a really good sign for adoption. Did people have favorite gestures or ones they really disliked?
Oh, yeah, definitely preferences. The most popular was horizontal right, just a simple swipe motion to the right. The least favorite, square anti-clockwise. Maybe just felt a bit awkward to trace.
Okay. Any other feedback on why?
People liked the simple 1D gestures because they felt faster to perform, quick flick.
Mm-hmm.
But some mentioned that the depth gestures, the near-far ones, could feel a bit weird, like they made them go slightly cross-eyed.
Interesting physiological feedback there.
Absolutely. And they found real statistical differences between gestures in how easy they were to learn, how comfortable they felt to execute, and even perceived eye fatigue. Gesture design really matters for the user.
Clearly. So, summing up the experience, was it generally a positive reaction, a thumbs up?
Overall, yes. Very positive. Words like attractive, reliable, exciting came up. The main area needing work was efficiency.
Efficiency, meaning speed.
Speed and maybe coordination. Some quotes were like, innovative, but need some time to get used to it, where some gestures take too much time in coordination. So there's a learning curve, and maybe some gestures could be streamlined.
Okay, innovative, but needs polish on the efficiency front. Makes sense for a new interaction. What about the social side? Where would you feel okay doing this? Waving your hand and staring at your thumb.
That's always a hurdle for new interactions.
Yeah.
People felt pretty comfortable using it in private, like at home. The median score was high, 6.5 out of 7.
But in public,
less comfortable. Yes. The median dropped to 5 out of 7. The worry was mainly about what other people would think.
Fear of looking weird.
Pretty much. Fear of judgment or bystanders misinterpreting what they were doing.
Yeah.
It's just not a familiar interaction yet, so people felt a bit self-conscious.
Understandable. So putting all this together, the tech, the experience, the social aspects, what does this mean for us, for listener? Where could Body Pursuits actually show up?
Well, the participants themselves had plenty of ideas. Controlling music, handling calls, interacting with smart home devices, things where you might not want to grab your phone or touch a screen.
Especially if your hands are busy or dirty.
Exactly. They mentioned medical settings, think surgeons, maybe, or food prep, or wearing gloves. Anywhere, hands-free, screen-free control is a bonus. But the key application, going back to the tech, is really adding this smooth pursuit input wherever you have eye tracking, but lack a screen target.
Like those EOG earphones again?
Precisely. Or maybe future AR glasses without a constant display, or even those BCIs. It fills a specific interaction gap.
This has been a really fantastic deep dive. Body Pursuits definitely comes across as a, well, a genuinely novel and seemingly viable way to interact, using our own body's movement and our natural gaze for screen-free control. It's quite an elegant idea.
It really is. And the key results back it up, you know. That 0.772 F1 score for gaze is a strong starting point. The low effort reported by users is huge. And the overall positive experience, even with the notes on efficiency, that's really encouraging.
Definitely. Plus, understanding its potential, especially for private use, while acknowledging those social hurdles for public settings, it maps out the road ahead.
So maybe the thought to leave everyone with is this.
Mm-hmm.
As our tech gets more embedded, less reliant on us staring at glowing rectangles, how might something like Body Pursuits change your interaction? Imagine controlling things seamlessly while you're cooking or jogging or in situations where touching a screen just isn't an option. It's a different way to think about control, isn't it?